As I get everything set up this morning, I do want to say a special thanks to those who went yesterday with, those who went yesterday to the Bible Bowl. Hannah and Kimberly participated in a Bible Bowl down in Sanford and did very well from everything that I've heard. And greatly appreciate all those who were involved in helping them study, getting them ready, and appreciate them for going, doing such a good job, and representing the congregation here in that Bible Bowl. We also want to say a special welcome to all of our guests. We have a good number of guests with us today. We ask if you would take a moment and fill out a visitor's card to where we have a record of your attendance and contact information for you. We do appreciate each and every person that is going to be or that is here with us this morning. We do want to also make mention of the fact that after services this morning, we will be having a potluck luncheon. Each and every person is invited and asked if they would and if they can to stay, eat with us. There will be plenty of food. I guarantee it's always good. And so if you would be willing to stay, and then after that, about 1:30, most likely, we're going to come back in here and we're going to have about 30 minutes of singing, some scripture reading, and then we are going to have a question and answer session. Those of the congregation here have been submitting questions for a few weeks, and we're going to be going over those questions and doing that. So if you would, please stick around for this afternoon. We should be through by about 2:30, and then we'll be through for the day. Open your Bibles, if you will, to 1 Samuel. Going to be studying something a little bit different than what we have been in recent weeks. We're going to be looking at the life of a woman. A woman who endured some trials, some tribulations, and yet a woman with great faith. A woman that had faith that God would supply what she desired, what she needed, and what she wanted. He would supply that which she asked for. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, we begin reading in verse 1, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the Mount Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuf, an Ephrathite. And he had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, the priests of the Lord, were there." We meet and are introduced to this man, Elkanah, and his two wives, Hannah and Peninnah. Bearing in mind that under the Old Testament, it was allowable and it was quite often the case that a man might have more than one wife. It was not condemned at this time. And yet, we'll see in this situation, as is always seen in the Old Testament, when a man has more than one wife, there's always problems. There's always problems in the home. And such was the case here. Those are not the things which we are going to be focusing on, but instead we're going to focus on Hannah as an example. An example for us in how we should live our lives. In four different areas, we are going to notice, first of all, Hannah as an example of prayer. Notice also Hannah as an example of one who trusted in God. And also Hannah as an example of faithfulness in promises. And Hannah as an example of one who glorified and gave thanks to God. So let us begin. In verses 4 and going down through verse 16, we're going to notice Hannah as an example of prayer. Let's see what her situation is. We've noticed already that Peninnah was one of Elkanah's wife, and she had children, but yet Hannah had none. Let us begin reading in verse 4. "And when the time that Elkanah offered, he gave to Peninnah his wife, and to all her sons and her daughters portions. But unto Hannah he gave a worthy portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret, because the Lord had shut up her womb. And as he did so year by year, when she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Therefore she wept and did not eat. Then said Elkanah, her husband, to her, Hannah, why weepest thou? And why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved? Am not I better than to thee than 10 sons? So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So we see here the situation. We see here laying out the situation that they are now in. They have gone up to Jerusalem. They have gone up to worship the Lord as they did every year. And of course, at this time, a portion was given to the wife and to the children, or in this case, to the wives and to the children. And yet, Penina always rubbed it in, because she had children and Hannah had none. And yet, as we find also quite often being the case when there was more than one wife in a household, the husband loved one wife more than he loved the other. He loved Hannah. He loved her more than he loved Penina. And yet, the Lord had blessed Penina with children and Hannah with none. It states that the Lord had shut up her womb. Now, it's not necessarily the implication of this that he physically shut up her womb specifically and did this to her to cause her these trials or anything, but it is the case that she was barren. And we know from Psalm 125 or 127 verses 1 through 5 that under the Old Testament, under Jewish society at this time, children were considered a blessing from the Lord, as we should consider them. And yet we can notice under Jewish society that a woman who was married and yet had no children, who was barren, who could not have children, was looked down upon. And so there was a great deal of scorning, a great deal of sorrow, and a great deal of disappointment that came with the fact that Hannah had no children. This is the situation. So they have gone up to worship the Lord. They have gone up to the house of the Lord, and we see beginning in verse 9. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple and of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then will I give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. And Eli said unto her, How long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, No, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, but for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken thereto. Hannah comes before God. She comes to the temple. She comes before the high priest where Eli is, and she bows herself down and she prays. She prays a prayer that is absolutely heartfelt, that comes from the deepest thoughts and the deepest onset of her heart, desiring a child. She prays to God that He will bless her, that He will open her womb, that He will give her a man-child, a son, one who would carry on her name and Elkanah's name, that would carry on the lineage of the family. She is in great sorrow because of the persecution that she has endured. She has refused to eat. She has refused to participate in the things that are going on because of her great sorrow. And yet, who does she turn to but God? It states that Penina provoked her. That is the idea of to trouble, to implicate, to grieve, to rage, to vex. And she did this year after year after year as they came to worship God. Can you imagine how hard it would be for Hannah to come and to focus on the worship that they were there for, to come and to focus on God when yet she had Penina every year coming and saying, See, I have children and you have none, continually provoking her. And yet, out of the sorrow of her heart, she comes to the Lord, she prays to Him, and she asks for a child. She vows a vow, and this was her vow. Lord, if You will give me a child, if You will give me a son, then I will give him back to You. I will put him in Your service. I will put him in the service of God for the remainder of his life. She simply wanted to bear a child. We find that many times, as we go throughout our own lives, as we go through our own situations within our lives, that we sometimes make promises to God. We pray to God and we say, God, if You will simply allow me to make it through this surgery, if You'll simply allow me to overcome this situation that I'm in, if You'll simply allow me to have a job, I've been laid off, if You'll simply do this for me, then God, I will devote my life to You. I will give more. I will recompense what I have withheld from You. I will do what I ought to have been doing all along. And yet sometimes we find that instead of fulfilling those things after we've prayed for them and we've been blessed with them, we fail to do such. Turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. There is a great importance and a great significance when we make a vow to God. There's a great application in Hannah's situation and the statement that is made in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Here Solomon states these words. He says, keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God, and be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. He says, first of all, when you go to the house of God, be more ready to hear than to speak. But he says, keep thy foot. Pay attention to what you're doing. Pay attention to where you're going. Think concerning why you are there. This is not a time to walk in here idle-minded and just simply go through actions. This is a time to focus. He says, pay attention. He says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven and thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. He says, when you come into the house of God, when you come to worship Him, first of all, be more ready to hear than to speak. But secondly, be careful what you say. Because you're on earth and God is in heaven, showing the authority that God has. Verse 3, for a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. For He hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better it is that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. Solomon, in speaking to the children of Israel and writing this statement here, says, when you come to the house of God, if you make a vow, you pay it. Do not defer. Do not hold back. Do not choose not to go through with that which you have vowed. For this reason, God will hold you accountable. God will hold us accountable for the promises we make, for the vows that we state. And if we refuse to pay that which we have vowed to God, we will be held responsible. Solomon emphasizes the fact that it is better to not make the vow, to have a desire and to not go through with making the vow, than to make the vow and not fulfill it. Many times we make promises to God when we're in need and we fail to come through. We fail to bring about our part of the vow. So we see here Hannah praying to God, praying from her heart, praying and understanding that God was able to provide. But notice, beginning in verse 17, Hannah, as an example of trusting God, not simply an example of prayer, but example of trust. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of Him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, and her countenance was no more sad. And they rose up in the morning early and worshipped before the Lord and returned and came to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. Wherefore it came to pass, when the time came about after Hannah had conceived, that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, "Behold, I have asked him of the Lord." We find here, Hannah has prayed, and Eli, after knowing that she has prayed, after knowing what she has done as high priest, he says, "Go your way. Return to your house. Go about your business. The Lord will provide what you've asked for. He will fulfill your prayer." She goes away. She gets up. She returns. Her countenance is no longer sad. She's no longer sorrowful. She's no longer unhappy. She's now happy. She has now understood that God will give her what she's asked for, and she trusts that will be the case. She has no more than the word of the high priest, but that's enough for her. When we pray, do we have an understanding that we are to trust and have faith that God will give us what we pray? In James chapter 1, James writes to those in the first century. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, and he makes a statement. He says, "If any of you lack wisdom," beginning in verse 5, "let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let not him ask, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways." James, in writing to the first century Christian, says, if you ask anything of God, ask it in faith. Ask it in trust, knowing that God is able to provide and that He will. Now, he does not say in this passage that God's answer will always be yes, that we will always get that which we pray for. But he does state that if we ask and don't believe that God will supply it, if we ask and don't have faith that God can do that which we ask, then we will receive nothing because we have not asked correctly. We have not asked in faith. And yet we see Hannah as a great example of one who did this very thing. She came, she had a desire, and she asked for this thing from God in faith, knowing that He was able to supply her needs, knowing that He was able to give her what she desired. Hannah understood that even though she had prayed, even though she had asked God, she still had a part to do. She understood that her work was not done. It is not the case that we are able to simply just pray and then say, "Okay, God, it's in your hands. Now I'm going to do nothing." She understood that she had a responsibility still. Her responsibility was to trust in God, to obey God, and to work toward her own goal. I stated before that the director of the School of Preaching, Wesley Simons, where I attended, would make the statement. He said, "We need to live our lives praying every day that it, like it all depends upon God, because it does. And yet we need to live our lives working as if it all depends upon us, because it does." See, we have a responsibility to work and fulfill our part of our obligations and allow God to fulfill His. If we refuse to do our part, then God will not do what He has promised us He can do for us. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5, the Proverbs writer says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy steps." We understand that there is a need to trust in God, but that trust in God demands something of us. Hannah was one who is a great example of trusting in God. But notice also, beginning in verse 21 and going down through the end of the chapter, we see Hannah as an example of faithfulness. Beginning in verse 21, "And the man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer unto the Lord the yearly sacrifice and his vow. But Hannah went not up, for she said unto her husband, I will not go up until the child be weaned, and then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and there abide forever. And Elkanah, her husband, said unto her, Do what seemeth thee good. Tarry until thou have weaned him. Only the Lord establish his word." So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her with three bullocks and one ephah of flour and a bottle of wine, and brought him unto the house of the Lord in Shiloh. And the child was young. And she slew a bullock, and they slew a bullock, and brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he worshiped the Lord there. We find here Hannah fulfilling her vow. God has blessed her with a son, Samuel. And she, in turn, has done that which she vowed she would do. She has brought Samuel to Eli, to the temple, where he would become a servant of God, where he would become dedicated to God's service. In obedience to him, he would become a priest. He would become a servant of God and a prophet. He would be trained by Eli. He would not live with Hannah. He would not grow up with his mother. He would grow up in the temple. She was willing to give up that which she asked for simply because God was willing to provide it. Truly, we see the fact that she was bound to her vow, and yet she understood the sacrifice she was making, but she would not defer from paying it. Once again, thinking back to those quite often who make vows to God and yet refuse to pay it. They say, Lord, if you'll just give me this, then I will give more to you. If you will just do this, I will do more for you. If you'll just help me in this way, then I will help others as well. And yet sometimes we ask, we get, and we fail to go through with our promises. God has no care for an individual who will not fulfill his word, because God will always do that which he has said. He will always fulfill his promises. Her faithfulness resulted, as we see in chapter 2 and verse 21, it was rewarded with 5 more children, 2 sons and 3 daughters. She was blessed greatly because she was faithful. So we see Hannah, an example of prayer, an example of trust, an example of faithfulness, but we also, fourthly and finally, see her as an example of one who glorified and gave thanks to God. Beginning in chapter 2 and beginning in verse 1, we see she's come to the temple. She's given her son to Eli. She has done that which she vowed to do. And now she prays once again. She says, and Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord, mine horn is exalted in the Lord, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoiced in thy salvation. She begins by saying, God, you have supplied my need, you have given me salvation from the situation that I was in, and now I will praise you. There is none holy, verse 2, as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. There is no foundation upon which any of us can stand except for Jehovah God. And she understood that. She understood what God had done for her. Verse 3, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. She declares that God is one who will judge us, and He will judge us by what we do and by the things that we say. She understood that she had promised. She understood that she had vowed a vow, and she understood she had fulfilled it. She was just before God. Verse 4, the bowels of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. They that were full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased, so that the barren had borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill, to set them among the princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. From the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He hath set the world upon them. she declares, in thanksgiving to God that He is the one who is in control. He is the one who is above all things. He hath created the world. He has set it forth. And He is the one who is ruling, who has all authority and can do whatsoever He wills. There's none that can stand up to Him. She goes on in verse 9. He will keep the feet of His saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness, for by strength shall no man prevail. She says there's no one by strength who's going to overcome God, but He keeps the feet. He is the foundation upon which His saints stand, and they remain in Him. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces out of heaven. Shall He thunder upon them? The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and He shall give strength unto His king and exalt the horn of His anointed. And Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. She's fulfilled her vow. Samuel remains behind, and she goes home. She has done that which the Lord has required her to do, because of her own vow. But skip down, if you will, to verse 18. We read the last account of Hannah. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters. And the child Samuel grew before the Lord. See the last account of Hannah, being one who not only gave her son, but continued to love her son. She continued to love her son and was blessed because of her actions. She had been granted salvation from her situation, salvation by God, and blessed by God. But we see the importance of doing what we have stated. We are not to simply pray when life is hard, when we need God's help, and then do nothing. We are to pray, as Paul wrote, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, without ceasing. We are to pray, as he wrote in the next verse, in everything giving thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Paul writes that we are to pray at all times, not simply when we're in need, not simply when we're in want, but when we have something to be thankful for as well. We are to pray because God is one who can provide. Hannah prayed to the Lord out of thankfulness for having Samuel, even though she was giving him up. We ought to have an attitude that we are thankful for God's blessings, even when those blessings, in a way, are taken from us. We need to recognize how blessed we are. But if we turn to Hebrews chapter 5, we can notice that there's a reward that is promised to the faithful. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 9, we read, And being made perfect, speaking concerning Christ, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that, notice, obey Him. We must be those, if we desire salvation, if we desire the blessings of God, we must be those who obey Christ. Who obey God, who obey His will, who fulfill our obligations and our responsibilities to Him. We see in Hannah an example of one who prayed, who trusted, who was faithful, and who gave thanks to God. And yet we see in our own need, in our own lives, the need for salvation and the obligations we have to be obedient to obtain that salvation. So the question comes to each and every one of us this morning. Are we going to be a child of God as Hannah was? Are we going to be one who is going to do what God has said and follow God out of a heartfelt desire for obedience? Are we going to be one who is blessed and give thanks back to God? Are we going to fulfill that which is our obligation? Are we going to fulfill that which we have promised to Him? You see, each and every individual who is a member of the body of Christ has made a vow to God. They have made a vow that I will live my life in service to you. I will live my life in service to your will, and I will obey. I will put you first and myself after. I will not have my desires before you, but I will serve you in holiness to the best of my ability. We've made a vow to God as Christians. If you're outside the body of Christ this morning, if you're not a member of His church, if you've not heard the Word, have not believed it, have not repented of your sins, confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and been baptized into His body, Galatians chapter 3, verse 27, then you have not been saved, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. We must do all of these things in order to enter in, to become a child of God, but then we've made a vow, and we have a responsibility to fulfill that vow. Let us always seek the Lord's guidance in every area of our lives, not when we're only in trouble. But let us learn from the example of Hannah. We should remember that nothing, nothing is too great nor too small for the Lord. And we should pray because prayer has greater power than any of us can imagine. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. God is able to do far above all that we can think or hope. So in this example that we see, do we see a lesson for ourselves? Do we see a lesson to us for how we are to live? If there's anything we can do, if there's any way we can help, if you need prayers, if you have questions, if you need to study, or if you have a sin that you need to repent of, if you need to become a member of the body of Christ, don't put aside an opportunity. Hannah didn't wait. She knew what her heart's desire was, and she went for it. If there's anything we can do, come as we stand and sing.